I dare say some of you maybe have never seen a funeral like this. They were shouting and praising God. Some of you have probably thought it was a Pentecostal service. My wife pulled hold of my britches leg a couple of times to keep me from running around the building. Amen? It got good as the preaching got good. Yes, we honored Steve Wakefield, but guess who was lifted up high yesterday? Jesus Christ, for He alone is worthy. And that's just what Pastor Steve would have wanted. I don't know anybody in this life that lived more Christ-like life than Steve Wakefield. So I'm fired up this morning. I might just preach till the sun goes down. Amen? I don't know. I'm just kidding. I won't do that. I lost half the congregation. I do want you to know that man had a wonderful influence upon this missionary's life. He didn't just lead me to Christ. He was a dear friend. Many a time, driving across America on some lonely road somewhere, I called Pastor Wakefield. Usually I called to encourage him. I always ended up being the one that was encouraged. What a man of God. You know, the Bible says, and I quoted this verse to the church yesterday in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. The Bible says, let a man so account of us. When it's all said and done, Brother Jim, what can a man say about us? What would you want written as the epitaph on your stone? That's what that verse is saying. Let a man so account of us so as to be faithful ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. 1 Corinthians 4:1. That's what the Bible says. And may I say to you, when you take account of Steve Wakefield's life, there was a faithful minister of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God. I want folks to say that about Mike Ferris. How about you? I'm not saying I'm worthy of that. I'm not. I'm just saying, what do you want folks to say about you? What do you want men to take account of your life? May I say to you, there's nothing greater than faithfulness. And Brother Steve was faithful to the end. Praise God for Steve Wakefield. I just wanted to give you that testimony because it's still fresh in my heart. Pray for his dear wife, Miss Darlene, married for 56 years, right, sweetie? 56 years they were. And Miss Darlene lost her husband and her pastor and a very dear friend. They were very close. And as we said in the service yesterday, we sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Amen? But we still sorrow. Not as others which have no hope, but we sorrow when we lose our loved ones. So praise God. Thank you for your prayers. And thank you. We did make it back safely. I can't say I remember the last 2 hours of the trip, but we did make it home. Amen. My wife kept punching me. I just said, don't worry about it, sweetheart. The force is with us. Amen. Amen. I'm glad there is a force that's with us. I want to ask you, church, to pray for Vicki Hunniford this morning. Her husband just took her to the hospital. She had a serious car accident. I think he told me on Thursday. Is that right? Does anybody know more? On Thursday. And if you saw her this morning, she was making jokes about him whooping up on her, and I knew better than that, amen. But he just took her to the Grafton Hospital, so he's there while we speak, and Miss Vicki was in some pain. Let's do this. Let's pray for Miss Vicki real quick before we get into the message, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Hunnifords. We thank you for their faithfulness. I see that sweet smile every time I walk into this building. They always shake my hand. They always hand me a bulletin. And there's always something encouraging to say. She's always asking about my wife. Lord, now she's in pain. Thank you that there was nothing more serious, no apparent broken bones or anything from the accident, but Lord, something is causing her great pain. And Lord, she does not know what that is. And so there's some anxiety. Pray that you'd comfort her husband. Lord, we pray you'd give the doctors skill and wisdom, and Lord, that they would be able to alleviate that pain. Thank you, Lord, for the resurrection and the life. Thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do in our hearts from your word. Thank you for every soul that is here. Every soul seated in these pews is a soul that Jesus Christ gave his life for. Precious, precious in the sight of God is each and every soul in these pews today. May Jesus Christ alone be glorified. I want to tell you, I love you, Lord. There's none like you. Thank you for safe travel, but Lord, I do not wish to waste these people's time this morning. And I cannot preach what needs to be preached. So Holy Spirit, you're going to have to take over. In the thing I have to say to Grace Baptist Church anyway that's of any use. So Holy Spirit, speak from your word plainly, simply, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. And we're going to thank you right now what you're going to do in our hearts. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. If somebody's supposed to sing this morning and I got a phone call. And they said that they were sick. I get a lot of requests. It's usually not to sing. But they asked me to, and I said I would. So if you'll endure. This is a special song. It's an old song with which I'm sure many of you are familiar. I was asked to sing. It's a blessing to me. I pray it'll be to you. I know the story of the song who wrote this song, with which many of you are so familiar. Cavilla Martin in 1904 went to the bed of a bedridden friend to be an encouragement to her. And she asked her friend about all the pain that she was enduring and if she knew God was with her and trying to encourage her. Her friend just looked up at her and said, "His eye's on the sparrow. And if he watches the sparrow, I know he watches me." And immediately, Cavilla Martin began to write the words of this beautiful hymn, which many of you are so familiar, and I'll sing it to you this morning if God will give me the grace to do so. Why should I be discouraged whenever sorrows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Oh, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender words I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and fear. Though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Oh, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give way to sighing, and hope within me dies, I draw the closer to Him. From care He sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me.
Oh, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Aren't you glad God watches over us today? Amen. What a Savior we have. If he'll watch over the sparrow, the most insignificant of all the birds, how much more does he care for us? Oh, we of little faith, Jesus would say. Well, open your Bibles if you would. Brother Chris read the verse that from which we'll be preaching this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians. I love preaching from 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Preach this text many times, not this particular message. But I love the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Paul started that church when he was on his second missionary journey. In Acts chapter 17, you can read about it sometime. If you have 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to ask you to honor the reading of God's Word. If you would stand, please, and we'll read a few verses together. I'll make our prayer. We'll preach the message God has given us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to begin. Let's begin in verse 5. Paul preaching to the church that he began there in Thessalonica. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Paul clearly loved these folks. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses. And God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that we might be saved, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. I want to focus on verse number 13, our verse that we read earlier together. Paul says to the church, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. Do you see that? As it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you believe, in you that believe. What impact does the word of God have upon your life? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is perfect. Your word is holy. There is no error in it. Lord, heaven and earth shall pass away, but thy word shall never pass away. Lord, that we know that all that you have said in your word has either already come to pass, is happening now, or will come to pass. All will be done according to thy word, which is according to thy will. Now, Holy Spirit, teach us and help us. Lord, we rejoice that you have given us all that we need in your word. We don't need your word to be corrected. We don't need your word to be updated. We don't need your word to be changed or added to or taken away from. You even warned us about doing such things. Lord Jesus, we just need to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Help us, Lord, to believe your word. Not as it were the word of men, some scholar, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which worketh also effectually in them that believe. And may Jesus Christ alone be glorified, in whose name I pray. Amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated. I think as I begin preaching this morning, I'd like you to ask yourself some questions. And I'm asking myself the same questions. All of us are in this together this morning. I think the questions that I would ask would sort of go in this order. Number one, what importance does the Word of God have upon your life? Don't answer that out loud. The Bible says, let every man examine himself. Amen. I'm preaching today not so much to the church corporately as I am to the individual soul sitting in the pew. This is for each of us, including me. All of us need this message, not because I'm preaching it, but because it's the Word of God. Amen. Which effectually worketh also in them that believe. What importance does the Word of God have upon your life? Second question I'd like for you to ask yourself is, what impact does the Word of God have upon your daily life? Not just what importance does it have, as in I have three or four copies in my house and I occasionally read it. And yes, I even say I believe it. But what impact does it have? Is there an effect in your life as the result of having a copy of the Word of God in your house? Does it have some impact upon you? And lastly, I would ask this question, and it goes even deeper. What influence does the Word of God have upon your daily decisions? Every decision you make, whether to go somewhere or not to go, whether to do something or not to do, what to wear and everything else, what influence does the Word of God... You see, the world has an awful lot of influence upon us, doesn't it? I mean, you don't have to watch a whole lot of TV and to watch a whole lot of folks walk around to know that the latest fashion and the latest styles, regardless of how ungodly they are driven by Hollywood, and that is the correct pronunciation, amen? Smile at me. We have to eat our vegetables first. Keep your fork, dessert's coming, amen? What influence does the Word of God have upon your daily decision-making? I want you to think about the church at Thessalonians, and we're going to look at some scripture throughout Thessalonians in just a minute. But I want you to think about this church. Paul and Silas and Luke and the rest that were with him in Acts chapter 16 leave the prison house in Philippi where they led that Philippian jailer to Christ. For the first time in world history, the gospel of Jesus Christ moves into the continent of Europe. And the first European convert to Christianity is a lady named Lydia. And in Acts chapter 16, and then we move on into Acts chapter 17. After he leaves Philippi, he now goes into the city which still exists today, called Thessalonica in those days. It's called Thessaloniki today. In those days, in the days of Paul's writing, a very important port city, conquered by Rome, a wealthy city, and a city of commerce. And here he goes to Thessalonica in a place, and you can count on it, if it's a wealthy city and a Roman city and a place of much business, they're not going to want to have a whole lot to do with the Word of God. And Paul was there just 3 weeks. Check me out in Acts chapter 17. Just 3 weeks, Paul was there at Thessalonica. And the Bible says many came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness, and did he stir the people up? Everywhere Paul went, there was a riot. Amen. Would to God, God would give us some preachers anymore that were willing, amen, like our pastor, to preach the truth of the Word of God and pray that you're encouraged and blessed by it, but not care if you decide to spit upon it. That's between you and God. Amen. It's just my job to preach the truth. And Paul brags upon the church here. He says, for this cause thank we God without ceasing, because when ye, church, received the word of God, ye received it not as that you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually also worketh in you that believe. That's what he told them. Just 3 weeks he was there. You know, there was a time in our country when the word of God had an awful lot to do, had a lot of influence, may I say that, upon our leaders. Did you know what George Washington said? George Washington, the great George Washington, said this: it is impossible to rightly govern without God and the Bible. He'd be thrown out of Washington, D.C. for saying something like that today. Amen? I wrote down a couple of other quotes you might be interested in. John Quincy Adams, our sixth president, said this: in what light soever we regard the Bible, whether with reference to revelation, to history, or to morality, it is an inevitable and inexhaustible mine of knowledge and virtue. I wonder if our president today thinks that, or if that thought has even ever entered his mind. Help us, Lord. Calvin Coolidge, just about 100 years ago, our 30th president, said this: the foundations of our society and our government rest so much on the teachings of the Bible that it would be difficult to support them. Think of this in light of where we are in 2024. That it would be difficult to support them if faith in these teachings would cease to be practically universal in our country. I think Calvin Coolidge was a prophet. What about you? Amen? Andrew Jackson, our seventh president, said, the Bible is true. Upon that sacred volume, I rest my hope of eternal salvation through the merits of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, there was a time when the Word of God had influence upon our leaders and upon the daily life, yes, of even Christians. I wonder today how many Christians it has. Oh, you believe by God's grace. You know you're going to heaven when you die. But how much does this Bible and this book command your attention when it comes to making any decision in life? Well, it's getting kind of quiet in here. Don't make me feel like I'm preaching by myself. Amen. The funeral was yesterday, and there was a whole lot more shouting going on at that funeral than there is in here this morning. Let's liven it up a little bit. Amen. I preach a lot shorter when you say amen. Oh, they're having Pentecostal fit now. Look at them. Presidents, judges, scientists, astronauts, doctors, all kinds of important people down through American history have testified. My office is full of thousands of their testimonies of the impact and the importance of the Bible upon America. Christian friend, I'm asking you this morning, as Paul bragged to this church, without ceasing, we give thanks to God for you, because when ye receive the Word of God, it's the question I'm asking you, how do you receive it this morning? Is it just the word of men? And many people say that it is. Many today will tell you, this is just a book. And it's just a book that was just written by a bunch of men. And it's no more reliable than, you know, any other textbook. How many of you have heard something like that? Book was just written by men. Just about every hand in this room should be up. Amen? Sure. Yeah. I have a question for you. If this book is so insignificant, and if this book was just written by other men, then what's all the fuss? Why do you need to take it away from my grandchildren to get it out of our school? If this is just another book, right? Is it just me, or is that just too much common sense? Are you in the church? If this really is just another book, and it was just written by men, and it's just a bunch of allegories, and it's just a bunch of Aesop's fables, then why would we need it any more than a woman lived in the shoe and had a lot of kids? Some of you don't even know the fables, amen? What is he talking about? Amen? I'm giving away my age. Praise the Lord. Help me out, Brother Hopkins. I want to say something to you, though. I have probably said this from this pulpit before, so if I'm repeating myself, it's on purpose. And if the Lord tarries his coming and Pastor ever has me preach here again, I may repeat it again on purpose, because it's true and I like truth. Jesus said, sanctify them by thy word, O Lord. Thy word is truth. And in a world that's going mad trying to find truth, Can I tell you, you hold, if you have a Bible in your hands, the Word of God, you have the truth, the absolute truth of God in your very lap. Amen. The world's going insane looking for truth. Jesus Christ stood before Pilate before he was brutally murdered, and he said, I have come to bear witness to the truth. You know what Pilate said? Pilate said, what is truth? That's what he said. Pilate was staring truth in the face and didn't recognize it. May I say to you, millions across the world today, yea, millions of Christians have a copy of the truth in their homes and don't believe it. And so therefore, it has no impact, no effect upon their life. May I say to you, rejecting the Word of God has a far more severe effect than believing His Word. Can I say this before I get into the meat of the message? I'm going to be quick this morning, but can I say this? It's impossible to be saved without the Word of God. Let me say that again so it sinks down deep. It is impossible to be saved without the Word of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth for how long? Forever. For the promise of by faith that Scripture had concluded, Galatians chapter 3, that all are under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Believe what? Believe His Word. Jesus said in John, I'm so glad Jesus said this. I'm glad He said it when He meant it. John, He said in John chapter 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life. You're looking at the boy that has everlasting life. It is not because I'm a lick of good, amen? It's because God said it, and I believe it, bless God, and He saved my soul. Amen. And I'm glad I don't have to be a Greek scholar to figure that out. You don't have to know the Greek or the Hebrew. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says the common people heard Him gladly. Are you with me? Paul said, I came not baptizing, not with wisdom of words, lest I make the cross of Christ. But none of that. You don't have to have a college degree to get this. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus spoke to the common man. My 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 year old grandchildren can understand it.
Amen.
And those that are old enough have believed by God's grace that they're saved. Isn't God good? Paul said, I rejoice. We thank God without ceasing. Because church, when you heard the word which God gave to us, you didn't receive it like it was coming from some scholar. You didn't receive it like it was coming from Dr. Tinkling Cymbal or Sounding Brass. You received it as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. There's the caveat. Effectually worketh, and there's no period there, effectually worketh in you that believe. A lot of people wonder why they don't get more from this book. Can I say something that Jesus said? I'm just repeating what Jesus said. Jesus said, our pastor's been preaching about this as he's going through the book of Revelation, and I love it. He mentioned this, I believe, last Sunday in Revelation of the church of Smyrna. All those churches, it says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. When I first got saved and I first started reading that, I laughed. The Bible's full of humor, amen. And I used to think, Pastor Hopkins, every time Jesus said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. He said that all the time. Was he preaching to people that didn't have any ears? That's got to be weird. None of these people have it. No, he's not talking about physical ears. Pastor said it last week. He's talking about the ear of the heart, amen. Much is heard in here doesn't always go to the heart. Isn't that right? But they believed, and it had an impact, which I'm going to show you on the church. Can I just say this? I'm glad when God said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I'm glad I can believe that. Amen? Why? Because God said so. I can look outside, and I can see that blue sky, and I can see the sun, and the moon, and the stars, and the raindrops, and I can see the birds, and all the beautiful things that God's made, and know that God spoke them into existence. And that belief has an impact upon my life. Thank God my grandmama and grandpapa didn't swing from no tree. Amen. And they weren't on one cell of Eva 5 billion years ago. These people were absolutely insane and educated out of their minds. You listen to me, church? You want the Bible to have an impact upon you? It effectually worketh. What's the word effectually mean? With effect. With impact. With results you can measure in your life by God's grace. Amen? You want it to work effectually in you? You got to believe. And you know what Jesus said? I started saying this a minute ago, and I got to preach on something else. I'll talk to you. Jesus said, he had here to hear and hear. He said, take heed what ye hear, and with what measure ye meet, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Do you hear what he said? With what measure ye meet. The same love and passion and desire to learn that you put in this book, that's exactly what God's going to give you. Read this like a piece of literature, check the blank. I read about two chapters today. You're not going to give much. And it'll have little impact upon your life. Read us and do this more, church. I'm trying to be help.
Amen.
Amen. This helped me, it ain't helping anybody. I need to get this book myself. Amen.
Amen.
And unto you that hear shall more be given. How does God know that you hear? When you believe, we sing that song, and it's a good one. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Boy, that's a biblical song if there ever was one. Because may I say to you, the more I trust His Word, and the more I believe, and the more I obey, the more joy He fills my heart with. Somebody said, I wish you turned the joy of that volume down a little bit. Sorry. God will have to give me the lockjaw of death before I quit praising His name. Are you listening to me? David himself said, in the grave it's impossible to praise God. You know what Jesus said? I'm just going to go ahead and preach this right now. You know what Jesus said when He came down out of the Mount of Olives and into Jerusalem last time before He was to be crucified? You know what Jesus said when they strolled out palm branches along the way and they shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. You know what they said to the Pharisees and all the heathens come up to Him just like they say today? They come up to Jesus, and I'm paraphrasing now, but that's all right. We'll get it. They come up to Him and say, why don't you tell these people to shut up? You know what Jesus said? I tell you, if these praise me not, the rocks will cry out.
Amen.
You want to know why I shout, church? Because I don't want to be put in a casket and have a bunch of dumb rocks beat me in life. Are you with me? Amen.
Amen.
Not going to be outshattered by the rocks. Are you with me? Hey, listen, one of these days we get to heaven, you're going to find out heaven's not a quiet place. We're not going to sit around with our hands folded like this, like a funeral service, you know, just shh, don't say anything. Lord might find out we're here. That's not heaven. You better read the book of the Revelation. There's trumpets blaring. There's angels singing. There's millions upon millions upon millions of the redeemed saying, I have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Are you listening to me? It's going to be a noisy place as we praise God together. And He's worthy. I'm glad when God said in His book that the children walked across on dry ground. They crossed that Red Sea. Brother Nick, I believe it was so dry. I believe when the children of Israel moved their families across the dry sea, it was kicking dust up everywhere. It wasn't moist ground. God said it was dry ground. Amen. That means when the Bible says that Daniel was in that den of lions and they didn't harm him. And I like the way old Benny Hatfield preaches it. When old Benny Hatfield says when Darius pulled that rim back and pulled that lid back and looked down there and said, hey Daniel, what are you doing? Old Benny Hatfield says, he said, I'm just picking keys. Because God had shut their mouths. Daniel believed God.
Amen.
Tell me it didn't have an effect on him. Three Hebrew boys believed God. Got thrown into the fire. How'd that come out? They got to be with Jesus. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar himself that week, he looked down and said, did we go 3 men in the fire? Yes, came 3 men. Then why do I see a 4th man? And he's like the Son of God. What's Jesus Christ doing down there, amen? By the way, that's the first time in the Bible the term Son of God is used. Is it Daniel chapter 3? Used by a heathen king. What do you say, Brother Paris? I'm saying the Bible, the Word of God, works effectually in you that believe. And you can just look at this and say, ah, it's just a bunch of foaming at the mouth preachers banging a pulpit. And I'll just read it. It's a good book. You can get some stuff. If that's what you believe, it has no impact upon your life. Jesus said, he that believeth Isn't that what he said? That's what he said. When that Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16 went to commit suicide, and Paul said, "Do thyself no harm. We're all still here. Don't do yourself any harm." That Philippian jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What did Paul tell him? Paul didn't say, "Well, first we have to talk about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and then we have to talk about the Lord's Supper." No, Paul didn't get scholarly. He just said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And that Philippian jailer believed, and you and I will see him in heaven.
Amen.
And his whole house. Why? Because he believed. Are you with me this morning? We sure complicate the scriptures. You don't need to be a scholar. Can I say something to you, church, by way of testimony? Greatest day of my life was the day I got saved by God's grace. I already testified of that. Can I say to you, spiritually speaking, one of the best days of my life after that? I can point to you this spot in Zanesville, Ohio, in our little house where we lived on Lenox Avenue in Zanesville, Ohio, where I got down on my knees and I said, "God, I've been saved for 5 years and I've not grown like I should. If you'll help me by your grace, from now on, I'm going to quit fussing with you. I'm going to quit arguing with you. I'm going to quit trying to correct your word. I'm going to quit trying to act like I know something about your word that I don't know. I'm just going to believe your word by your grace and obey. Will you help me to do that?" Can I say to you, church, I'm testifying to you as a missionary, amen? Changed my life forever. Settles everything. Settles everything. When God said it was a whale that swallowed Jonah, bless God, it was a whale that swallowed Jonah. Jesus Christ himself even testified as such. You try to change that to behemoth or something that is not, you turn him into a devil. Did you know that? Amen. Well, here's the meat of the message, and we'll go home. Now watch this. What is your response to the Word of God? I want you to see, first of all, what happened to the church of Thessalonica. Number one, your response to the Word of God will affect the depth of your faithfulness. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Go over one chapter to chapter number 3. It will affect the depth of your faithfulness. Look at verse 5. "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith," Paul said, "lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain." Paul's checking on his church, isn't he? He wanted to know that the doctrine and the preaching that he taught them had some effect. Look at verse 6. "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your," what? "Faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your," what? "Faith." How you receive the Word of God will affect the depth of your faithfulness. I don't wake up on Sunday morning and debate whether I should go to church or not. God said, "Go. There's nothing to debate." Are you listening to me, church? There are things that people ask me to do that I won't do. It's not because I'm trying to look my nose down at them. It's not because I think I'm any better than them. I'm not. It's because, brother, if God told me not to do it, I'm not going to do it.
Amen.
Much better outcome. Much easier way to live. Are you with me, church? If God said to do it, then I better do it. It'll affect the depth of your... Listen, your faith, Christian, is being tested now more than ever. And you've heard our pastor preach eloquently in the past weeks about the coming tribulation. We haven't seen anything yet. How do we get faith? You've heard this verse quoted, I know, many times from this pulpit just in the last few months. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Christian, you need your faith increased? Get in the book and receive it. Not as it were the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually also worketh in you that believe. I'm talking about faithful in your turnout, your church attendance. I'm talking about faithful in your tithes. Uh-oh, he's talking about money. Let's run. You know what's amazing? The more I get in this book, the more I don't have any problem giving whatever I have to God that He wants. I've never heard it so quiet in this church. Pastor's going to say, Brother Ferris, what in the world did you do? Faithful with your talents. You know what we've done? I've heard this all over America. I hear it in our ministry to the military. We've talked God out of being able to serve Him in any way. Well, Brother Ferris, I can't sing. And Brother Ferris, I can't teach a class. And Brother Ferris, I'm just not good at going out and talking to people. And I'm not good at this. And next thing you know, you've told God you can't do anything for Him. Let me say something to you, church. God's not interested in what talent you don't have. Let that sink in. God's not interested in what talent you don't have. What He's interested in is you being faithful with what He has given you. And I know this because the Scripture says so. Each and every one of you have talents that differ one from another. That's why when we all come together as a church, all of us are better than one of us. Amen. Amen. You put all of the talents in this room together and pull those resources for the cause of Jesus Christ and watch Jesus shake Bridgeport for heaven. Amen. Are you with me, church? I can show you a woman in Judges chapter 4 that all she had was a hammer, a nail, and a bottle of milk, and she won a tremendous victory for Israel. That's all she had. Won a tremendous victory. And she's the only woman in the Bible to whom the Bible says, "Blessed art thou above women in the tent." That term was never said about Mary. It was said about a lady named Jael. You listening to me, church? You better know this book. It'll save you a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble. Number one, it'll affect the depth of your faithfulness. Number two, it'll affect the degree of your fruitfulness. I said it'll affect the degree of your fruitfulness. Now listen. God is not standing there at a scorecard saying, "Now listen, Brother Greg led this many to Christ, and Brother Nick led this many to Christ, and Brother McCray led this many to Christ. Brother McCray led more, he wins." No, God, that's not what God's doing. I can show you accounts of missionaries. Adoniram Judson's one of the first names that comes to my mind, who led very few people ever to Christ in his mission field. And I would argue with you, one of the most successful missionaries who ever lived. It's not about a scorecard. It's about being faithful with what God has given you. And everyone in this room can be faithful. Regardless of your... Jesus didn't say, "When I come back, will I find talent on the earth?" He said, "When I come back, will I find faith on the earth?" Because that's something every man and woman in this room, under the sound of my voice, can do. And the impact of your faithfulness is directly impacted by how you receive this word. Does this word bother you? Does this word cause you to stay out of it? Does this word bore you? Then it's going to have very little influence on your life. And that's a shame, because this is the word that spoke the universe into existence. This is the living, breathing word of God. Look at the effect it had on the church at Thessalonica. Go with me to chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at how it affected the degree of their fruitfulness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word." There it is again. Now watch this. They received it because, boy, times were good and everything was just fine. That's not what the Bible says. It says, "having received the word in much affliction." Now, go back this afternoon and read Acts chapter 17, and you'll find out that the Jews of that city of Thessalonica, after those people got saved, stirred the town up against them. And brother, they suffered great persecution. Persecution like we've never seen here. They threw Paul out of that place. He had to escape and get to Berea. Are you listening to me? We're not talking about a church that heard it during good times. They heard it and received it with joy, even though they were under much affliction. People of Thessalonica said, "These that have turned the world upside down, messing up our town." Amen. And that's why the United States of America doesn't want to hear this kind of preaching. They like living in sin. And this word has an impact. Dr. Charles Keene, one of the great soul winners of all time, many of you know him as the pastor of the First Baptist Church in near Cincinnati, Ohio. I forget the name of that little town near Cincinnati, Ohio, where he was a pastor for so many years, and started the track ministry there, and thousands, countless thousands saved all over the world because of Dr. King's ministry. He now started First Bible. Brother Ron Hodge, who's from West Virginia, is part of that ministry. Brother Hodge was telling me at Crown College a couple of years ago, he said, "Brother Mike, you ought to see what's going on in Mongolia." I said, "Tell me what's going on in Mongolia." He said, "Dr. King showed up and talked to the president of Mongolia." And the president of Mongolia, he was talking to him about getting Bibles. That's what First Bible does. They print Bibles. He was talking to the president of Mongolia about getting Bibles into Mongolia. And the president of Mongolia said, I don't know anything about this book. But I know about history to know this. Every place this book's ever been, it's been impacted. The country's been impacted for good. I want your Bible." We don't even say that in America anymore. Mongolia! It will affect the degree of your fruitfulness. Look at verse 7. How did it affect them? "So that ye were in samples to how many? All that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." That was the southern region that was separated from Greece there. "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord." Does that sound like the gospel to you? Does that sound like missions to you? Sounding out the word of the Lord? Sounds like it to me. Sounds like somebody had a good missions conference there in Thessalonica. "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in" how many places? "Every place your faith to God would spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." The degree of that church's faithfulness and the depth of their faithfulness and the degree of their fruitfulness was impacted how? Because of how they received the word of God. They believed it, and God gave them fruit. Number 3, it will affect the demonstration of your fellowship. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Watch it, 1 Thessalonians 4. It will affect the display of your fellowship. You know what Jesus said about fellowship? "Herein will they know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Can I say something, church, by way of testimony? If my wife were standing here today, she'd say amen with me. We've not been here all that long, about 8 months. But may I say to you, this church has demonstrated love. And I commend you, church, for that. And I would say with Paul that I exhort you to abound yet more and more in your love for one another. I love the love that we have for one another in this church. I love that. Amen? I love that. There's folks in here that I know pray for me, and I love that. And I pray for them. Amen? Look at how it affected the display of the fellowship of the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 4. Look at verse 9. "But as touching brotherly love," look at what Paul said, "ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase the more and more." Isn't that what we just said about Grace Baptist Church? Amen. How is it that their fellowship was so good? Because of how they received the word. May I tell you, I don't know everything. And I'm not a scholar and don't claim to be. But can I tell you, I've been all over this country. And I've heard some of the great preachers in America today. And can I tell you, church, we are greatly blessed to have the pastor that we have, to preach the word of God the way that he preaches it, in spirit and in truth, like very few have in this country today. Amen. We're blessed. That's one of the reasons I'm here, my friend. The display of your fellowship. Paul said, "I don't even need to write about you folks. Everybody knows when you go to Grace Baptist Church, you're going to get loved on." You know what I saw yesterday in that church at Emmanuel Baptist Church? Standing by that coffin. And I know the people, so I know how true it is. I saw people from all over America loving on one another. And I thought, God's pleased. God's pleased. That's what we ought to do. Herein, Jesus said, "Well, they know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another." I better move to the last one before I get thrown out of here. Lastly, it will affect the demonstration of your fortitude. The depth of your faithfulness, the degree of your fruitfulness, the display of your fellowship, and lastly, the demonstration of your fortitude. How you're going to make it through tough times. Remember, they received the word in much affliction, this church did. Much affliction. And yet many got saved, and this church grew in spite of their persecution. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians 5 as we round third and hit for home here. 1 Thessalonians 5, look at verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We are living in dark times, are we not, church? Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God, look at this, hath not appointed us, he's talking to the church here, to wrath, but to obtain salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has not appointed the church to go through the tribulation period. Aren't you glad of that? That ought to help you in times of trouble. That ought to help you because all of us in this room, nobody in this room immune to sickness. Nobody in this room immune to trials or tribulations. Nobody in this room immune to getting a phone call with cancer. Nobody in this room immune to heartaches. Children that go wayward and don't live for the Lord. Family members that aren't saved. Nobody in this room knew to any of those things. So how are you going to get through it? Times are going to get tough. And your children and grandchildren are going to have a whole lot tougher than I do. Amen. Listen to me. It's going to get tough. It's going to be hard. And they're going to need to know, where do I find truth? In the day and age of the truth, it's become so relevant and so watered down and so milquetoast. You don't know who to believe. What do we do, Brother Ferris? I think of what happened to King Josiah. Living at a time that was as bad as it gets. Israel was already in captivity. There were two tribes left in the south, Benjamin and Judah. They were about to go into captivity. It was a mess. I'm talking about socially, economically. It was so bad, women were eating their children. That's the truth. You read the Word of God.
Amen.
Far worse there than it was here. And somebody found no Bible in the holy place. King Josiah said, go clean out the holy place. I don't know how we're supposed to worship God, but I just feel moved that we need to do it. 8 years old when he became king. You listen to me? Sometimes I wonder if it would be better if we had an 8-year-old in the White House.
Amen.
I'd vote for Adeline any day. Amen.
Amen.
She'd be my president. Tell you what, she thinks she is now. Amen. Hey, listen. You know what Josiah said when they read that book to him? The Bible says he read his clothes. And put on sackcloth and ashes and read the rest of the text. Josiah lived one of the greatest revivals. I know it was just before Judah's demise. I get that. But the last great revival Judah ever had was led because a king heard the word of God. And when he received it, it was not like it was coming from some men. He said, Hilkiah, I didn't hear you pounding the pulpit, and I didn't see you blowing spittle all over the first three rows. But the Bible says the prophetess Huldah told him that God's going to bless you in your day and give you revival because you believe his word. And judgment can't. God withheld his judgment on you because one man believed his word. Wonder what could happen to Grace Baptist Church if this church gets a hold of this word and realize that when the Bible says Jesus walked on the water, he did.
Amen.
When the Bible says, Lazarus, come forth! A dead man got up and walked out of that tomb.
This is just another book. This is written by a bunch of men. What's wrong with us? Why keep it out of our schools? I'll tell you why. The devil will mind you attending church. You can get baptized until the minnows have your social security number memorized. He don't care. He just still wants you to believe in God. Just ask Adam and Eve. Amen?
Amen.
Can I say this in closing? The devil didn't lie to Eve. He didn't lie to her. The devil said their eyes would be open, and they were. The devil said to Eve, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And that's true. It happened. You know what he did? Same thing he does to Christians and the people all across America and the people in this room right now. He just said, yay. Like God said, really, with a loving God, thou shalt not surely die. Am I quoting scripture, folks? And God, he needs to doubt God's word. And that's why you and I are in the mess we're in today. I'll finish with those questions. What importance does the word of God have in our life? What impact does this book have on your daily living? And what influence does this have in every decision you make every day of your life? How you receive it will affect your faithfulness, your fruitfulness, your fortitude, and your fellowship. God's word says so. I believe today, don't you? The good news today is if you're here and there's never been a time when you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus simply says to you, I love you. And he proved it. Because when you couldn't save yourself, he shed his blood on the Lord at the cross to pay for your sin. He said, look, there's no more I've done. Doesn't matter what you've done. Same pride that almost sent me to hell is the same pride that thinks their sin is greater than the grace of God. It's the same pride. It's turned upside down, but it's the same coin. Amen? There's nothing that you've ever done that goes deeper than the grace of God. He'll save you now. This will be the greatest day of your life, knowing that the shackles of sin have been taken away from you by the power of the blood of God through Jesus Christ, his Son. You can have that today when you walk out of here. Christian friend, living for the world is a miserable treadmill. And you'll have to have more and more and more and more. Never be satisfied.
And
it's a bag of holes. But when you get in this book, it'll fill your heart with joy and peace that only the Holy Ghost can give when you believe His word. Heavenly Father, thank you for Grace Baptist Church. The pianist is coming to play a verse of invitation even now.
And there are doubtless folks in this room that do not know you as Savior. I do not know. I'm nobody's judge. Nor do I wish to be, but you know, Heavenly Father. So I'm asking you to save that one that's nearest hell even now. For the Christians that are here this morning, and there are many, maybe there are some who would say, and I'm not asking for lifted hands, I don't need to know, Lord, you know. You know their hearts. You know the intents of our heart. Maybe there's Christians here today that need to come to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, help me to quit doubting your word. Help me to quit trying to make changes to it and make the word conform to my life. And help me to make my life conform to your word. Bless this time of invitation now, and may Jesus Christ be glorified, in whose name we pray. Amen. As the pianist plays, please stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Why don't you come to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, I want to receive your word. Not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Imagine what God could do with Bridgeport, West Virginia, with just a handful of people like is in this room right now, if this group would say, I'm just going to believe God. I'm just going to trust everything He said. I'm going to live by God's grace. And what I don't know, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to teach me. By the way, you've got a pastor that'll help you tremendously. you're in the right place to learn the Word of God. There are good Sunday school teachers here that can help you. There's a lot of folks, a lot of ladies here, ladies, that can help you with the Word of God. There's a lot of men here, young men, that can help you with the Word of God. Do you want to believe? We're so quick to believe CNN and Duck News and Fox News and Chicken News and whatever the rest of the news outlets are. We're so quick to believe that stuff. Church, when are we going to start believing God? One more verse. How about you? Is the Word of God having an impact upon your life? Does it influence all of your decisions? How often do we fly off on our own, get ourselves in messes, and my hand is up? Because we said, God, I don't think I need you on this one. I'll take care of it myself. Thank you, church. Appreciate your kindness and attentiveness. Please pray for Pastor and Miss Debbie. They're coming home tomorrow. Is that right? Somebody know for sure? Tomorrow. And so they'll be flying home. Pray for safe travel. Pastor's still preaching yet today. Pray that souls in Mexico will be saved. Wouldn't that be wonderful to hear about souls saved in Mexico? Amen. When Pastor comes back, and I'm anxious to hear what he has to say about his trip. Pray for safe travel for him and Miss Debbie, and that they have a time of relaxation as well. Rested, as Brother Brad said in Sunday school. We need to rest sometimes. Amen. Anything else need to be said? Anything else need to be said? No, sir. Thank you all. Pastor Hopkins, good to see you again this morning. Glad you're here with us. Bless your heart. It is a wonderful church. Thank you, brother. Anything else need to be said? Brother Nick, would you close us in prayer, please, brother?
Father, we're grateful that you've given us all things. We're grateful that you've given us your word.
Yes, Lord.
And we know that you desire to affect every part of our lives. I pray that you would help us to build our lives upon it and call it even up the foundation. So I pray that you would help us to build up ourselves in thy word, to work with thy spirit in thy word, to teach us, to grow us.